That's why I say amen. Shot, no shot, with Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say amen. Shot, no shot, brought to you by Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile app. Preakness is tomorrow. Jim Miller with us at 9:50 to give us his picks. And if you'd like to wager a few dollars, you could have been a wealthy person. A $1 superfecta in the Derby. $1. Paid $342,000. That's right. Yes, there's a big coin to be made. So download that Club Hawthorne mobile app. And if you want to gamble on sports, PointsBet, and use the promo code TAKETHAT for two risk-free bets up to $2,000. We say good morning to Shay Norling, no D.
Good morning, fellas. Cap, stop saying no D. Nobody listening knows that you spelled my name wrong in an email. Nobody.
Yeah, except I have a lot of people think, hey, that Nordling kid. I'm like, no, it's Norling.
Well, then start pronouncing it right, and they'll stop thinking that.
Yeah, we'll see. Go ahead.
I actually very quickly want to say, I once, on the topic of like missing the birth of your child, I once got in a fight with one of my wife's friends. Also, good morning, Hoodie.
Go ahead with your story.
You're not in here. It's like, wow, no, this is crazy.
Actually, again, no one in the business, no one knows that, but go ahead.
The Twitch people know that. Okay. You can watch us on Twitch, yeah. twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago.
Go ahead with your story.
Anyway, no, my my wife's friend got in a huge fight with me because she was asking me about, like, she was asking me if we were ready to have children, and I was like, no, it's not really in the cards for us. And part of the reason I said that is because of the work that we do. And I said, look, I just don't think it would be fair to a child. Like, God willing, the White Sox, the Cubs are in a pennant race. It's late in the season. I got to be watching games. Or, like, God willing, the Bears make a Super Bowl. And it's like, whatever my kid might have going on, well, because of what I do, it's not fair that I have to take time from that kid to do what I have to do. And this woman starts cussing me out. You would watch the Super Bowl over be with your kid? You hate children. Starts cussing me out over this. People are nuts about it.
But you don't hate children, do you?
No, I don't hate children. My whole point is I love children, and I think I would be a bad dad. I think as a father, I would be unfair to my children because I would prioritize my career a little bit. It is what it is, so it's a choice that I've made.
Take that.
How about that?
How about that? Boring.
Go ahead.
Let's go, Shay.
All right, the White Sox had their best offensive performance of the season yesterday. They tallied 14 hits in a 7-4 win over Kansas City, took a 5-game series on the road. The offense was led by Luis Robert, who had 2 RBI singles before coming to bat with one on in the 8th.
2 strikes on Luis Robert. Runner at first. High fly out into deep left. Back on it, Benintendi. This ball's going to go! Almost into the fountain, Luis Robert with a big 2-run homer to add some insurance here late, 7-4.
It was a rocket that traveled over 400 feet. Luis Robert's bat is getting very hot. My question, I think it's probably a softball shot or no shot. Luis Robert is a future American League MVP in the making.
That's a shot. Hoodie's been on this for a while. If they had a prop bet, points bet, you should put this up. Prop bet, will Luis Robert win an MVP in the next 3, 4, 5 years? And you get different odds for each one. Obviously, the longer you go out, the less the payout would be. I'm going to tell you he wins it in the next 3 years.
I love Luis Robert. And he's the guy now that you have to watch. I've told you this before, Cap. You know this as well as a baseball fan. When you're in the concession line or if you're going to the bathroom, whatever, and you, instead of going to the concession line, instead of going to the bathroom, you want to see a certain guy's at bat. Let me see, before I go get this hot dog, before I go to the bathroom, let me see what's happening. Let me sit on the concourse and watch. He's one of those must-watches. And before that, it was like Frank Thomas. Sammy was like that as well. You want to see what would happen in the at-bat. When I watch Robert, I'm locked in because I'm entertained by what he provides. 3-for-4 with the run, get that home run yesterday. I just think that that guy is destined to be an MVP. I think he's a special player.
I love Luis Robert. Okay, Hawk,
him.
You got it.
Yes. Hell yes.
Yes, grab some bench.
Go ahead, Shay.
All right. There's been a lot of talk about the White Sox starting rotation, especially from you, David, of Kaplan, about needing to just get healthy. But pitcher injuries league-wide are mounting. Yesterday, Max Scherzer left the game on his own accord with an injury. He will now miss 2 months with an oblique strain as most pitchers continue to struggle to throw over 100 pitches and stay healthy after shortened ramp-up and lockout. I know the North Side's Kyle Hendricks has been a little bit different. Justin Verlander's breaking that rule. But my question, shot or no shot, with the short ramp-up and mounting pitcher injuries, the Sox can't just get healthy. They need to manage the rotation and avoid getting more hurt.
Well, that's a shot. I mean, you have to do the best you can. Here's the one thing we do know, guys. We're just not going to see pitchers go 7 1/3 or 8 innings on a regular basis anymore. This has become a bullpen game. You want your starter to go through the rotation, you know, a couple times, maybe 3 times at best, and it really comes down to the bullpen. So you have to manage it the best you can. It all starts because you didn't have much of a spring training, you didn't get the ramp-up period that you normally would, and now we see a litany of injuries. It happens. Whether it's COVID or injuries, we're seeing this a lot with starting pitching. So, yeah, that's a shot. The Sox just have to be able to manage, but the bullpen has to be healthy and strong throughout the rest of the regular season.
So, look, it's a no-win situation. If Tony said tonight, you know what, I'm going to sit so-and-so because he's had a lot of stress on his arm and I'm not going to let, and then they lost, everyone would be like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And then when he doesn't sit somebody and he gets hurt, don't you know how to manage your pitching staff? Or why is Tim Anderson getting a day off? And then there's the back and forth and there's the... He just has to do the best he can possibly do, and guys have to be honest.
Yeah.
If Jonathan Hood's my starting pitcher and he comes to me, he's like, can we skip one start? I'm exhausted. My back is sore. I don't want to have a problem here. Then I got to be smart enough to go, yes, you can miss a start. Or, John, your velocity has dropped 4 miles an hour in the last inning. I'm taking you out. I'm going to protect you, get some rest, and we'll get you back up there in 5 days. You got to just be smart, and that's what I would hope that a veteran manager is capable of doing.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Shay.
Yesterday at the PGA Championship, Will Brinson followed John Daly, tracked throughout the round. He said Daly, every time he went to his bag, was getting a sip, a smoke, or a snack, and he tracked Daly throughout 18 holes, smoked 21 cigarettes, drank 12 Diet Cokes, ate 6 packs of peanut M&Ms, and drank 0.0 ounces of water. Shot or no shot, John Daly is the most entertaining golfer of all time.
He's entertaining because he's pathetic? I mean, it's kind of... I think it'd be a cool story if he won the PGA. It's not going to happen. It's a sad, sad thing of what he's become. And I read his book where he won $1.8 million or whatever it was. They gave him, like Happy Gilmore, the big check. They gave him that massive check. He actually said, hey, just put it on a marker down in the casino. And by the end of the night, it was all gone. Like, he's had so many issues in his life. The fact that he smoked 21 cigarettes, ate 1.5 pounds, did you say?
6 packets, whatever that is.
Okay, six packets of peanut M&Ms. A pound of peanut M&Ms, mm-hmm. And is not hydrating himself properly. It's sad. It is. It's sad.
My guy, you got to enjoy it. He's enjoying life. He loves being on the golf course. Hey, he doesn't have to fit into anyone's box. And, you know, if he has loved ones around him, they should try to help him out as best as he can. The cigarettes, it was 21 cigarettes, as Shay mentioned, right?
Right.
If that's what helps him get through the day, Cap, that helps him. But it's his life, right? It's his life.
It is.
You and I would imagine those around him have probably talked to John and say, hey, John, you got to get in better condition, man. We want to see you around. I know you love golf, and you still have a decent enough golf game at least to be part of the PGA Championship. But, man, we want you to be able to be around friends and family and be able to enjoy life. And John doesn't see it that way. He's letting it ride. We say this in gambling all the time, right? Let it ride.
Yep.
He's letting his life ride. It's his life, though, Cap. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean,
yeah, question.
He can't live my life or your life. He's living John Daly's life. And you know what? He's going to let it ride until the wheels fall off, clearly.
What's the old saying? No, he's not here for a long time. He's here for a good time.
Looks like it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but otherwise, my guy. Big guy out there getting it done. It's funny because I told you the other day, Cap, like, we saw John Daly with the lead. I've seen this before in certain tournaments. John will get the lead on day one, and then he'll just peter out by two, three, four, and you just don't see him. But he can still golf a little bit.
Yeah, no question about it. I was showing you the pictures yesterday. They're posting pictures of him, you know, significantly overweight, shirts mm-hmm. untucked, his sense of style wasn't good. And he had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and they go, "There's your PGA Championship leader."
Yeah, it's me without the cigarette. It's me.
Cap, what's in your golf bag for a snack?
Right now, nothing because I haven't played yet this year. But normally, granola bar, a couple bottles of water, maybe a Bai, BAI, the greatest drink in the world. That's it.
And probably, you know, turkey leg. Go ahead, Shay.
Maybe a Malnati's pizza.
That's not going to fit in your bag. All right. Pam Anderson said in her free time from doing Broadway shows, she has picked up a second gig as a dog walker. Anderson asked her assistant if she knew anyone who needed their dog walked. Her assistant hooked her up with a friend, and she's now regularly walking an Irish setter named Dash through New York. The owners were reportedly shocked to see Anderson at their door. My question, boys, shot or no shot, you would pay extra, like a whole lot extra, for Pam Anderson to walk your dog.
I'd give her a place to live.
Yeah. I wouldn't. Would I pay Pam Anderson extra to walk my dog?
100%.
Yeah. JR said he would borrow a dog.
We would have a uniform.
Yeah. What kind of uniform, Cap?
Short, low cut, with high heels. Good luck.
I've got three dogs. I'm just telling you.
I've got three dogs, Pam. Here's the outfit. That's what it pays. We're good.
I'm just telling you, Pam, if you're going to walk my dogs, I've got this outfit for you. Take that.
Take that. We can maybe do some yoga pants. Okay.
Oh, nothing like a good yoga pant.
Oh.
Ah, the imprint.
Greatest invention ever. There's the iPhone, the wheel, and yoga pants.
Sliced bread's not in there, right? Is that in your foursome there?
Sliced bread does not come close to yoga pants.
You sure?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Make sandwiches awfully easy.
That is true. And I will say that...
You ever seen yoga pants?
Yoga pants. Well, see, here's the thing, Cap. It's not just yoga pants. It's who's wearing the yoga pants.
This is true.
Sometimes the yoga pants looks like a loaf of bread on people.
This is also true.
So it all depends on who's wearing said yoga pants. If you pardon the expression.
Pam Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine. That's
good,
fine.
That's pretty good.
Hopefully only one contains yeast.
All right, that's it. That's okay. $1.
That's definitely fine.
Yeah. All right, that's fine. Bernie'sBookBank.org.
Jed Hoyer said, you cannot evaluate last year's Cubs trades for quite a while, like years. That's next.
Yeast.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
With Hoodie, I'm Cap. 312-332-3776. Jed Hoyer met the media yesterday, Hoodie, and he said, all the trades that we made last year, we really won't be able to evaluate all of them until 2027.
See, that sounds odd when you say it that way, because we always look at draft picks in the prism of the NFL or the NBA, correct? When we talk about the NFL, like the draft that the Bears just had with Poles and Eberflus, and we say, well, we can't evaluate them until 3 years, and that's why it's the NFL. The NBA, it's a little quicker. You get a draft pick, you want that draft pick to pay dividends in a couple years. Like we talk about Patrick Williams. We expect him to have his real coming out party here in 2023 for him to be a starter, healthy, and really help out the Bulls. But in baseball, it's a little different, isn't it?
It is, and so when we were in our meeting, we both went, wait, what? it's 2022, as you just said. Mm-hmm. Then you look and you go, well, they traded for, like on the Darvish deal, they traded for like 2 18-year-old kids. The Chris Bryant deal, Caleb Killian's coming quick. Mm-hmm. He'll be here probably this season. Then you look at the Pete Crow Armstrong deal. You look at some of the other ones. Okay, if you trade for an 18 or 19-year-old kid who's at low A or high A, he probably isn't here for 4 years at age 22 or 23. That's an accelerated timeline. And then you go, well, we got to at least give him a year in the big leagues, and you're at 2027. So after you really look at it, you can understand where Jed is coming from. It's more easy to digest it.
I suppose. But I would imagine by the time we get to 26, 27 on this show, Cap, you're not going to be happy if, you know, the guys that you traded away or let go in 2016 for the 2016 championship, and those guys don't bear fruit. You know, like, we made these deals and we really got nothing for them. I think that you won't be happy with that because, listen, whatever you want to say about those players from the 2016 team, I thought at the time after 2018 there should have been some changes. 17 it was okay. 18 after the 18
that season, was the time.
Yeah, I thought at least during the 18 season it should have been something happening. But I know baseball is different from the other sports, but I'm sure you won't be happy if you get nothing of consequence from some of those top level players from the 16 championship team.
Yeah, of the guys you traded, if you told me that all the deals that they made and no one made it, mm-hmm. well, then shame on them. Either A, they didn't do a good enough job scouting, or B, they held on so long to the deadline where you were only giving guys, you know, what did the Giants have Chris Bryant for? 2 months?
Right.
You're not going to get that much back. Now, it looks like they may have actually gotten a good pitcher in Caleb Killian. We'll see.
Poor Bryant. Poor Chris Bryant. He was at the place he wanted to be, San Francisco, the city he wanted to be. Grew up as a Giants fan. They're like, nah, you're not versatile enough, which is funny.
Because that's what we hung our hat on, that he was versatile.
Right. He played all outfield positions, can play third and first. Yeah, we'll pass. Wait a minute. And Chris Bryant's not a Rocky. It's so interesting. Like, that's what the Cubs enjoyed, is his versatility, but San Francisco didn't see that.
Correct. So they moved on. Now he's in Colorado. Let's go to Ted in Lakeview. 312-332-3776. Jed Hoyer says, can't really evaluate these deals for the young guys till 2027. How does that make you feel? Hey, Ted, what's up?
How you doing, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, Ted.
Beautiful morning here. I'm peering over at Wrigley Field as I speak. I just want to respond to something that Hoodie just said to Cap, and I would assume all Cubs fans, myself included, that we wouldn't be happy in 26 or 27 if these prospects didn't bear fruit. And I think that's obviously true, but I still think it's complex because you want the opportunity that they could have bore fruit, you know, than not getting anything from those guys. And so we'll see how it shakes out, but yeah, we're in that sort of rebuild phase, and at least we got a shot at some of these guys, you know, hitting.
There's a shot.
Yes.
There's a shot that some of these guys can hit. We'll find out. We appreciate your call. There is a chance that none of them hit. I mean, they're high on Pete Crow Armstrong, and they're high on some of these other guys. We're going to find out.
Yeah, the reason why I said that is because there's so many Cub fans that will look fondly of this era of Theo Epstein, not just the championship of 16, but the winning, the constant time of getting into the playoffs time and time again. It's a good era. It's the best era of your lifetime and mine. We've never seen the Cubs in the playoffs so often and had a chance to, and a real opportunity for the championship every year. You know, and so I would just think that if you are a Cub fan and you say, well, we can't evaluate until you get to 26, 27, and yet none of those guys come up, none of those guys work out, that just kind of sucks. And I'll double down with this, Cap. As much as you admire Theo Epstein, and I do as well, as a White Sox fan, watching what he did with the Red Sox and then being able to really change the Cubs' fortunes in a good way, man, I still can't get over the fact that this Cubs team doesn't have enough minor league talent that can help the current ball club now to be able to start to contend. I just think that's it's not right. you can win and also build a farm system at the same time.
Well, they feel like, though, that they – I've asked that question.
Yeah.
They feel like they do have that talent, but they are not going to rush it because it's not ready.
But you know in this town that that's – you know, I think that you kind of scratch your head about that, right? You feel like the young talent's not ready to win or not ready to help you now, but – it's about winning every year. It is Chicago, after all, right?
It is.
All right, so that's like, they could say that to you, and they could say that to me, but if those young players that they have in the minor league system are not able to bear fruit or to be able to give you the production you need in 23-24, I know for sure, I have a Cub fan I work with every morning that's not going to be happy with that.
You're exactly
permission
correct.
To beak quickly?
Yes.
Just to Hoodie's point, I'll draw a parallel. It's been a little less than 5 years since the Tigers, who I'm a fan of, traded Justin Verlander to the Astros. They had a great farm at the time, got back some prospects who at the time were pretty well regarded. Not a single one of them today is on the major league team, and I'm furious about it.
Just remember that they did not get any of the top five prospects in the Houston
correct.
System.
And I know it was like, it wasn't the best trade they could have gotten. But again, like when you trade a player like that, so it's the kind of the parallel of getting rid of the core that won the Cubs the championship. The Tigers got rid of the core that won the division 4 straight years. None of those guys they got back are on the team today. And I'm furious. So I have to believe if 2027 comes and we're still in the evaluation process of these guys, mm-hmm. Cubs fans are not going to be happy.
No, I've always felt this way, Cap. Cap, you've known me for a long time. I believe in our hometown that you should always be in the mix to go for it. I don't believe in tanking, but if you're going to tank, you better make sure you get your ass right back up there and contend. And I understand the philosophy of tanking or saying we're going to rebuild. I get that. I just don't like it for our city because every year you and I should be talking about teams that are surrounding the opportunity to get in the mix for the playoffs or winning a championship. I just think that this is treading water, this Cubs team here now. I mean, at 15-22, and when you have friends of yours says, hey, what about this young kid Ortega, this young kid Rivas, this young kid Schwindel, that's, you know, now you're just screwing around, and you really don't have a focus of exactly what you want to be as a franchise. Like, there's veterans and older minor league talent on this Cubs team. That's not, you know, what is that?
Yeah, this should never happen again. Never.
Right?
Again. Dave in Lombard. Hey, Dave.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
This is Steve.
Hello, Steve. How are you,
Steve, it's really hard to get good help around here.
First order of business, sign Contreras to an extension.
It's not going to happen.
Trade him.
But let me tell you why they should keep him.
Go ahead.
He's a leader on this team.
Yeah.
He's an emotional leader. He plays hard all the time. He's 30 years old. He's an all-star catcher, just turned 30. He's batting as a DH, .379. The marriage between him and Gomes is a good one. Gomes is under contract for this year, next year, and an option year. He would be a mentor to Hispanic, the young players coming up. We need to keep some of the pieces now. We have to use this to say we're open for business, and then we got plenty of money. This is Chicago. This is the Cubs. We got plenty of money. You guys haven't even talked about. Let's not wait till 2027. Let's start signing some big ticket free agents in the offseason.
Hey, Dave, I'm with you, and thank you for the call. I have been preaching, sign Wilson Contreras, extend Wilson Contreras big time, and then I want to sign Aaron Judge in the offseason. If the Yankees let him get away, they tried to sign him for 200 and whatever million, and he turned it down, said, I'm testing free agency. Can you imagine that dude in left field at Wrigley, Saya in right field, Brennan Davis in center, or Ian Happ? Yeah, this is the Chicago effing Cubs. You got more money than God. You should be in the mix for any of those dudes.
Agreed. Agreed.
Period.
Aaron Judge, man, in Chicago, you know, you're looking for a face with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge comes over. That's your immediate number one marketing tool.
You want to get
Judge.
Your dead-ass TV network to people to start watching
oh,
it?
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, man, I just speak the truth.
Just a minute.
I mean, you can't get coverage on different places. I got all neighbors right. going, I can't get the Cub game.
Okay.
It's on freaking YouTube the other day with two kids from CLTV doing the broadcast.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it was awful.
All right. That's don't be taking shots at Sean Marshall. He's doing the best he can.
I'm not taking a shot at him. I love Sean.
Does he not work at the Marquee?
What do you have against the Marquee Network?
A lot, Tom.
You won't be saying that until years.
Well, it's now what? 2021. This is the third year. It's not.
I don't need a baseball man for my baseball man, Barry Rosner.
Let me just tell you.
Huh?
You put Aaron Judge there, they'll find Marquee Network real quick. All right, Jesse Rogers joins us. Jed Hoyer comments on Wilson Contreras. We'll get into all of it with Jesse next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Jesse Rogers, our guy. This guy used to be a man of the people, Hoodie. Mm-hmm. This guy used to just be one of us out there grinding.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, he's become Hemingway. Guy's breaking stories left and right. He's just at a different level than the rest of us. But he talks with us every Friday, and we love chatting with and Mondays. Jesse, good morning. How are you?
Cap, after that intro, I'll pick up the paycheck. I'll pick up the bill next time. I promise. It's been a while.
How are you, pal?
My spies saw you at Experience the other day. I should have came out and said hello.
But Espresso.
Espresso, wherever you were.
Yeah.
Where in Glenview? Where were you?
I was in the one up in Deerfield.
Yeah, I got my spies. They said you left a good tip, so you know that's a good thing.
Jesse,
any baseball chatter on this show?
No, absolutely not. Okay,
well, please talk about the Deerfield Times. Please go ahead.
Okay. I don't think I think it's the review. Anyway, Jesse, let's great talk paper. About Jed Hoyer's comments last
yes.
night. Hoodie and I just chopped them up where he said, you really can't evaluate the trades we made last summer until 2027. And we went, what? And then you think about it. If you trade for Owen Casey or Pete Crow Armstrong, some 18, 19-year-old kid, if they're in the big leagues in 4 years at age 22 or 23, that's like an accelerated timeline, and then they need a year to adjust. It is 2027.
Yeah, it's so funny you bring that up because when he said it, my eyebrows raised. Like, I'm like, what? I thought maybe he was exaggerating it a little bit and really meant 24, 25. But then you're right. I just punch up the Cubs website, their own prospect page, okay? Mm-hmm. You look at the top 15 prospects. Only two are at AAA. One of them is hurt, Brennan Davis, so he's slowed. And then you start looking at rookie league, single A, high A, double A, several of them are hurt, like Braylon Marquez, a couple others as well. Now, Caleb Killian, as you mentioned, I heard, we'll be up here at some point. He's the other one at AAA. Just two. Brennan Davis, who's hurt, and Caleb Killian at AAA. The rest are at single or low A, for that matter. So, yes, maybe it is about 26, 27. But I don't think Jed would say that's the timeline to win. That's just the timeline when some of these guys will be ready and ready to judge
correct.
The trade. I think if this team gets good sooner, some of these guys won't be in the organization. Yesterday, and I know you guys will love this, I was asked on MLB Network about Juan Soto. What if he gets moved this season? And I said, hell yeah, the Cubs should be interested. You trade Ian Happ back to them, about seven other prospects, and you go that route.
Why would the Nationals do that? Their ownership has tons of money, and they've spent tons of money.
Because the other thing, apparently, they've taken over that area, too. This used to be the Orioles area.
Great point.
And so now the Washington Nationals have taken over where Baltimore once was a great team. And so the Nationals should hold on to every asset possible. They've won that area. They've won that market.
Not only that, ownership right now is very tight with Scott Boras. They've signed up his clients a lot. The only caveat is they might be up for sale. And maybe Soto wants out because of the uncertainty moving forward, or maybe the new ownership group, you know, sends signals, whoever that's going to be, we'll sign this guy for $500 million because we need a cornerstone guy. I mean, I was asked this. The point is, They have a blank slate. Yes, Aaron Judge. Yes, Juan Soto. So that's the thing. All these guys at single A, whatever, are not necessarily going to be on the big league team in 5 years. They're going to be used to go get the next great star, we hope. Now, the one thing about this whole thing, I put, you know, if you want to blame people about why this has happened, I don't put Ricketts one or two. I just don't. Maybe three or four, because ownership, you know, is always going to be on that list. But the reason they're in the position they are, let's face it, is the later round drafts in 13, in 14, in 15. What we're seeing now is kind of in the Brandon Hughes and all these other guys, those are the later round drafts in like 16, 17, 18, finally starting to come through. So those drafts in the middle of the time they were winning, failures by McLeod and Theo and everybody, and they know it. But now they're starting to see some of the good of the last few drafts. Brandon Hughes is a great example. So that's why they're in the position they are in now. Last thing, I don't mind a little bit of a reset after that run, but it can only last about a year.
Agreed.
So this is the year to reset. Then you have to make the smart trades in July, whether you're buying or selling or whatever. And then you have to make the smart signings and really start that contending window next year, even if it's just for the division.
So, guys, for both of you, it just sounds like to me when Jed puts it out there and it says, well, we can't tell until 26-27. Ultimately, if the Cubs want to contend, they have to be able to do it spending money. I think that it's a good blend if you have young talent and you can spend money and then you can kind of manifest and build a team that way. But if the Cubs don't even have anything to trade in the minor leagues, then all of this has to be exclusively money that you're spending. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, but I do think they have things to trade now. I do think they have had, and again, this is on paper, but good reviews about all these trades.
Then they should be in double A then, Jess. If they're that good, they should be in double A on their way on a fast track to the big league.
Well, you've got Chris Morrell just came up. You've got Caleb Killian, you just mentioned, is coming. Like, you've got some guys that are close.
And remember, by summer, a lot of these A guys should be at double A if they're performing. Pete Crow Armstrong has been great. He's going to move up. Nelson Velasquez, who is number 16 on this list, just went to triple A, but he's probably higher than that. They do have names that they can trade come July. Here's my point. I do believe there would be a package that would get them Juan Soto, where a year, two, 3 years ago, I don't think they would. I'm talking about enough prospects, and it would take a bulk. You'd have to take just basically trade your whole single A team to get Juan Soto. But I'm saying there's enough to make trades to bring back a star player that wants out or whatever they want to do. They have enough to do that. So there's flexibility. There is money to spend. And if you can at least buy into this transition year, I do like what's going on. There's young players performing. Justin Steele's performing. Keegan Thompson's performing. I don't know what this Brandon Hughes is going to turn into, but he struck out like 7 of 10 players. This is the year to try these guys out. And, of course, some will fade, and you'll never hear from them again. But some won't. And you don't want to, you know, be trying guys out when you're contending. This is the time to do it.
Cap, it's a tough one, man. You're going to trade the next Ted Williams and Juan. So he's 23, for God's sakes. You're going to give up on him already? That's amazing.
Well, if they probably won't sell that team, that's a different story, I guess.
Yeah, but they probably won't. But at least it's at least a possibility because of the uncertainty with that team. But they probably won't. You're right, Jay Hood.
Well, that's why I said if Aaron Judge truly gets the free agency, and it looks like he's going to, turned out 200 whatever million from the Yanks, can you imagine Aaron Judge in left field at Wrigley?
Glenn Allen Hill would have company.
He would have company on the top of that building.
He'd have company on top of that building across the street. I mean, I watched that whole Yankee series at White Sox Guaranteed Rate. I was there. I mean, the bat looks like a toothpick in his hand. And I look like I am 2 feet tall standing next to that guy in the locker room. I mean, he'd be amazing there with Suzuki and Wright. You're exactly right. These are the kind of things that should be done when you strip your payroll and you have flexibility.
And you're the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you want to talk about Wilson Contreras?
Quickly.
Okay, quickly. Jed talked about him yesterday, and there wasn't a lot there. In fact, there wasn't a lot from what Jed said is the normal stuff. We're going to wait to see if we sell or buy in July. We know what's going to happen. But here's the one thing about Wilson. He was asked about his first half here, getting to DH more, what does he think of Wilson? Has the calculus changed, things like that? Listen to his answer.
I think we wanted to see that. I think we've known, I mean, like I said, we've known it's happening. It's hard to avoid, you know, with a guy that he wants to play every day. You're not going to have a backup that's going to hit like him. And so without the DH, it was really hard to take his bat out of the lineup. We wanted to see how this would be if we got more rest, and so far so good. So
see what he said there? We wanted to see how this would go. We wanted to see that. I truly do think between June 9th, when his ARB hearing takes place, and August 2nd, they will have conversations. Are you ready to hand $100 million to Wilson Contreras? It worked with John Lester. It didn't work with Jason Hayward. It kind of worked with Yu Darvish. So are you ready to hand him $100 million? I think the answer was absolutely no, but in the past, but maybe it'll change. I do think there's a new view of Wilson Contreras within the organization, but it has to keep going. It has to keep going, and it still doesn't mean they'll get a deal done because it's a lot of money for a catcher, but the DH does change the calculus. So this is going to be a very interesting final couple months of his career as a Cub, or the first couple months of something more with the Cubs. I don't think it's completely done, but I'm not saying it's going to happen either. But I do believe within even the industry, this is a version of Wilson Contreras people haven't seen. It has to last more than 5 or 6 weeks, though.
All right, we got to roll. Jesse, have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Take care.
All right, Hoodie and I will be back to tell you, you do not want to mess with Charles Barkley. You won't believe what he said. Next.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, there are a few dudes in sports that when they speak, you're like, I got to watch this interview. Draymond Green. Of course, Charles Barkley, Hoodie, is on that list. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I'm also on that list.
Yes, 100%. When Jonathan Hood speaks, you listen.
That's why this show is so good.
You keep your beak out of it.
Mm-hmm. My
period.
Bad.
Why call me F. Hutton?
No, I wasn't saying you couldn't beak now. I'm just saying you keep your beak out when Hoodie's speaking.
No, it's okay. It's okay, Cap. My apologies.
Charles Barkley was being, what'd you say that JR, he was being heckled?
Heckled. Pretty, you know, from behind the set, all those people gathering TNT live on site. There was some crowd interaction there. Take a listen to this one, Cap. Go
for it. Jack, man, championship. Hey,
wow. Leave me alone or I'll come to your house and blank your mama. Wow.
You don't want to mess with that guy.
You know, Charles Barkley, he really is the best. There's a certain generation, Cap, that they don't remember Charles Barkley as a player.
Right.
And how rough he was to the media, how rough he was in public. Like, you don't mess with Charles, but people would always try him. Ask a guy that went through a glass window
in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee, yes. Ask someone what that's like, right? I mean,
right.
He was a tough customer.
He was.
You weren't going to mess because he walked around with a chip on his shoulder. Undersized forward. Guy with a chip on his shoulder. He was a round mound of rebound.
Well, remember, people would make fun of him for his weight. It bothered him.
Yes. But he played with an attitude.
He did.
Right? And he had himself a Hall of Fame career. But then you got fans heckling, you know, and it's good for him to be able to say that. Here's the thing. I think that Charles has mellowed a lot over the years. You know, was able to interact with him at a couple of Final Fours. It's interesting. I can pull the curtain back and talk about his bodyguard, the guy that's with him, his security. His security could be at one part of the bar and Charles at another. That's not like he's like side by side with Charles, but there's someone there just in case someone wants to try Charles, right? And
correct.
So I was able to, you know, talk to him at a Final Four. It was in New Orleans, and we were just talking, and he was like, "Hey, let me introduce you to my guy." And I didn't know what that meant. I thought it was a friend. No, it was his security detail, his guy, just in case someone wants to try Charles. And so it's kind of cool for him to just shout out to those fans, just in case.
I remember talking to him. I told you I was with him at a Hawks game, and I asked him about his guy. And he said, "Brother, I make $10 million a year on TNT alone. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of commercial work. People come after me for my money. I ain't that stupid.
I work too hard to get it. I'm not going to give it away. And this man keeps me out of trouble.
And I'll bleep your mama.
Yeah. I mean, oh, my God.
Hey, recently. Yeah, well, don't bleep my mama, please. So, Cap, there was Shaq and Barkley got into it again just recently. Did you see this?
I did. They were. Wait, we have that. You want to hear it?
Oh, you have it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. JR's got to cue it up. We'll get it for you in a second.
I mean, these two, I mean, they're like brothers, these two back and forth. But the thing I don't like is I don't like when it gets nasty and personal. I don't like that.
Yeah, here we go. This is Shaq and Barkley. Just listen. This is fantastic.
Unbelievable, these
First
two.
Of all, Jimmy can get 40 if he puts his mind.
Oh, he can, but I'm saying.
No, with or without Marcus Smart, Jimmy Butler can get 40.
But it's still harder to get it on a defensive play. Yes, no. It is. Yes, it is.
Well, he's at that level. He's at that level now where at this point in the game, like D-Wade said, he's saying ain't nobody stopping him. They're focusing on defense.
Listen. Hey, but we all like
you don't think it's harder to score
on the defensive player of the year?
You don't think it's harder to score on
Dennis Rodman? You said last week, don't be bragging that you're a great player if somebody can shut you down.
I'm saying it's a hard
Marcus Smart ain't shutting Jimmy Butler down. If Jimmy Butler want to get 40, he going to get 40.
28, not 40.
He's going to get 40. If he want to get 40, he can get 40. He's that type of player now.
Well, we all like Jimmy Butler, but playing
against him. Don't be contradicting yourself.
No, I'm not contradicting.
You just said don't call yourself a great player.
No, I'm not. It's a totally different animal. I'm talking. It's harder scoring the defensive player of the year, fool.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You better look at my finals against Dikembe Mutombo. No, it ain't. It is not. Jimmy Butler is a great player. If you want to get 40, he can get 40. Hey, I don't want to hear that defensive player of the year.
Hey,
I don't even want to hear that. Stop. Get out of here, man. Check what I did to Dikembe Mutombo. Call him right now and ask him.
Listen.
I don't want to hear that defensive player. Jimmy Butler.
Hold on for a second.
Jimmy Butler is earned my respect. Go ahead and say something.
Listen, Petty White. We ain't talking about you. We're talking about Jimmy Butler.
This is facts.
Playing against the defensive player of the year.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
But that's what people think is great television.
It's great television until Shaq makes it about himself and makes it personal.
Right.
You know, the end of that is him saying that Barkley wasn't a good player at the end of his career like Shaq was. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Like, okay, it's a great spirited debate until he says, what about what I did against Mutombo? That's got nothing to do with what's happening today.
Correct.
just gets into the mud.
All right, you can change one moment in Chicago sports history. We're going to have some fun with this. You can change one moment in Chicago sports history. We've got your choices in 2 minutes.